And we'll go ahead and take our time and take up where we left off, talking about the wonder of God's glory. So I went ahead and read to you the beginning part, and I stopped. There was not enough time to go through it. But so you'll know that the two sons of Eli didn't just die for nothing. There was a reason for the death of them and also all these men. And when you have that kind of tragedy, it makes you question. Well, we're going to go and read 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, we'll read it, and we'll kind of get a better idea on what was happening, what was going on in the situation dealing with the glory has departed. Remember, she, Phinehas' wife is with child, and when she hears the news, she gives birth and names the child Ichabod. So the meaning is the glory has departed. So the last part of that first reading in Samuel was verse 21. She named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of Elohim was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel," verse 22, "for the ark of Elohim is taken." So it's repeated just to, so we can, I think it brings emphasis on what the reasoning for the name. The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of Elohim is taken. Now, go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 1. 1 Samuel 2, verse number 1, and we'll start reading there, and we'll go through and see how this came about. How did it come about that the Philistines had taken the ark? People were dying. We're going to go to battle. God's with us, and somehow he wasn't with them. So we're going to look at that. So in verse number 1, it says, "And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in Yahweh." Remember? Now, in most translations, if you have one in front of you, it's going to say what? What did it say? The Lord. And I may have some time to talk about that a little bit, depending on how much we finish. But there's an issue there. And let me just say this while I'm reading this, because this every time I read about Yahweh, it makes some... Let me give you a little history on that. Yahweh, the name of God, in the translations, at the beginning, the Hebrew people would say Yahweh. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, or the Tetragrammaton is called. So most scholars today believe that that pronunciation is within the framework of something that works with the Hebraic language. Especially the linguists. I feel comfortable with using the term Yahweh. And this, we're not going to be sacred namers where people say, "Well, you got to do this," but we ought to at least say his name. The Lord is not his name. The Lord is now the Lord. The way that came from was Adonai, or some pronounce it Adonoi. Some Jewish sects won't pronounce Adonai; they'll say Adonoi. They spelled the same. Just preference, right? Adonai, 100% in Scripture when it's used, because that's another term for God, Adonai, 100% in all cases, it's always used for the most high supreme being in Scripture. Now, how many has ever seen the word Lord in Scripture when it's not capitalized? That would be Adonai. It's used of lesser lords. They're lords nonetheless, but they're never the most high supreme being. Adonai is never used for a human being. Nowhere in Scripture. It's always used for God. That ought to tell us something, right? So in Psalms 110:1, David says, "The Lord, Adonai, said to my Lord." He's speaking of Christ, Adoni. He didn't call him Adonai. You know why? Because Christ is not the most high supreme being. What are we dealing with? Yahweh's glory, the wonder of his glory. And he tells us to say his name. Now, let me tell you this. We didn't know this, right? Up to a few years ago, I started saying it. People were shocked about it. What is this? You know, I didn't know God had a name. It's mentioned in the Bible. Yahweh's name is mentioned over 6,800 times. It's not just like one here and there. Over 6,800 times, the Tetragrammaton is mentioned throughout Scripture of Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, or Yahweh. Isn't that amazing? Now, if it's something he didn't want us to do or use, why would he say, "Proclaim my name. Give praise to my name." See? It's all through the Scripture. So, just so you know, over 6,800 times it's used in Scripture. That's amazing to me. Right? So I just wanted to point that out. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in Yahweh. My horn is exalted in Yahweh. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemy because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as Yahweh." Can you see how it could be mentioned quite a bit? But, you know, because when the children of Israel came out of Babylon and the destruction of the temple, when they were in exile, that's when the whole thing is, we don't want to go back. We definitely don't want to go back to where we come out of, so we're not even going to use the name anymore. So they would use the word Hashem. Praise Hashem. What's Hashem mean? Anybody want to take a shot at Hashem? Nope. You know what it means? The name. So praise the name. Maybe they wouldn't say it anymore. Then eventually the Septuagint came across. Who knows what the Septuagint, remember, this is Bible study, so it's okay, it's not like Sunday service. So the Septuagint came along. What is the Septuagint? It's also known as the LXX. The Septuagint and the LXX is the Greek version of the Bible. It uses for the term Lord or Yahweh, or I don't know, Kyrios. Kyrios. And it carries on into the New Testament. That's why we don't see the Tetragrammaton in the New Testament. When it says Lord, it's Kyrios. When it's talking about God, it's Kyrios. Or Theos. O Theos, God. Kyrios, it's using for the name. The Jews would say Hashem. Why? Exodus 20. We don't want to take the name of the Lord in vain. So they're not going to use it. That's not what he meant. It's not what he meant. And it says, if you take the name of the Lord in vain, you should be put to death. Okay? That'd make me scared too. But they took it wrong and they started to make a tradition out of not using his name. But he says all over in Scripture to proclaim my name. If you're going to proclaim the name, how can you proclaim it if you don't use it? It's liberating to know that we're talking to Yahweh. It's liberating. The Lord can get confusing through Scripture And you don't know if it's the most high Lord or the lesser Lord. You don't know. So if David says in 110:1, the Lord said to my Lord. How can you interpret that? The Lord said to my Lord. Well, who was David's Lord? What is he talking about? The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make you enemy. I mean, you know that verse. And then it's quoted in the New Testament. And Jesus actually brings it up. And so I want you to understand that this is important for us, and when we're especially dealing with the name, which the Jews would say Hashem. But we would say Yahweh. It's okay. And you see the Lord in your Bible, and it's all caps. So that's what they tried to do it in English. So how many have a Bible in front of you, and when you see the word Lord there, it's all capital letters. How many see that in your Bible? Anybody have your Bible open to these verses? Is it all caps? Well, that's what they tried to do, keep it all caps. When they came and talked about God, they would do the same thing, all capital letters, instead of using Elohim. So that's where you see that come from. Now, there is none holy as Yahweh. Isn't that liberating right there? There is none holy as Yahweh. I mean, this is where song should be born, right? For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our Elohim, our God, right? Now, notice this. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for Yahweh is an El. How many see it? How many see that El of knowledge? That's another form of the word Elohim. He's an El, a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. By him, talking about Yahweh. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. There was a verse here that I want to point out. I don't know if I underlined it, so you won't see it up there. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, that they were hungry, ceased. So that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. Now, who do we start in this conversation? Who are we dealing with? And Hannah. Yahweh killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. Yahweh maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lift up the beggar from the dunghill. He set them among princes to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are Yahweh's, and he hath set the world upon them. The pillars. That's interesting, huh? The pillars of the earth are Yahweh's. And what did he do? He hath set the world upon them. That's interesting. Verse 9, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silenced in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of Yahweh shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. Yahweh shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his kings and exalt the horn of his anointed. Exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto Yahweh before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not Yahweh. Phinehas and Hophni, they knew not Yahweh. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was seething with a fish flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. Now, this was all said in the Torah. They knew they couldn't go in and just take what they wanted, but they had to be provided for, but it had to be a what? A flesh hook of what? Three teeth in his hand. So they would get their portion while it's seething. We would call it while it's simmering or smothering down, getting tender. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desires, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore, the sins of the young men were very great before Yahweh, for men abhorreth the offering of Yahweh. They didn't even take note that it was Yahweh's offering. Didn't even consider it. Well, can you do that? Who are we talking about? Yahweh. And it's the reason we say that the scripture said they didn't know Yahweh, because if they knew Yahweh, they wouldn't have done those things. They had no knowledge of what they were doing. That's why in Ezekiel's account during our Sukkot, I dealt with the Ezekiel account of what happened when they went in and burned the incense and the fire came out and destroyed those. There was a reason. 7 days they taught them about who Yahweh was. And on the eighth day, they went in to do their duties, and they, instead of doing what they were supposed to do, they stepped into the office of somebody else. Well, that's, you can't do that. But for 7 days, and we celebrated 7 days, and on the eighth day, these are important times for God, and we have to remember to respect those times. So it goes a little bit further here. It says, but Samuel ministered before Yahweh, being a child, girded with the linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, Yahweh, give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to Yahweh. And they went into their own home. Notice that. And Yahweh visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before Yahweh. Notice that. Something's happening here. But Hannah gave a gift, lent him to the Lord. And what did God do? He blessed her with 3 sons and 2 daughters. And she was barren. Isn't that amazing? But there's a difference between when you know who Yahweh is and you respect the wonder of the glory of Yahweh, the glory of God, so important. You take into consideration that we're privileged. We got to get back to that. It's not a duty. It's not a task. We're privileged to be able to come to Bible study. We're privileged to be able to sing songs to Yahweh. We're privileged to be able to pray and know in our heart that He's hearing our prayer. We're privileged to be saved. It's an honor. Now, Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did. And to all Israel, and how they laid with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, they weren't taking naps. It don't mean they laid and took a nap. This is serious business. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? He asked this question. For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Now, no consideration for God whatsoever. Anytime you laying, having sex with the women at the entrance to the temple, something's wrong there. There's an issue. Well, I want to just submit to you that sort of stuff is going on in a different facet today. Because To do that means you're constantly obsessed with satisfaction for self. Pleasure in self. I got to get all I can get. Well, I'm going to tell you, that goes on week after week after week in Christianity and churches all over. Self is self. It's no different than laying with the women at the entrance to the tabernacle. You have no concern that they're coming in because they need help. They need a miracle. They need salvation. Your interest is I got to grow it big enough in order for me to get what myself wants. I don't care who comes. There was a comment made years ago. I was on a charter trip, and I had some guys on there, and they were all talking about church and so forth. They knew I pastored the church, and the thing came up about, you know, where they go to church. And I said, well, I didn't know y'all went to church, because according to what I've been seeing, I had no idea they were in church. We said, well, yeah, we're on the music team. You are? Oh, my. What kind of deal is that? Oh, it don't matter. We get a contract. And in the contract, it states, this is people telling, this is not secondhand information. These are friends of mine. In the contract from the church, states, as long as you don't come drunk or high, we don't care what you do on your own time, we just want the best program for Sunday morning as we can get, that money can buy, and so you're hired. These were some good musicians. And this is a church right there in Baton Rouge. I went, wow. Entering the gate for self-satisfaction at the cost of the fact that it's taken away from who the Most High is. And God won't tolerate it for a long time. It'll go on. But when he had enough, it's over. And when it's over, usually there's a cost that comes with it. And he said to them, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all the people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Watch what he says. You make Yahweh's people to transgress. Notice that. You make Yahweh's people to transgress. If one man sins against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against Yahweh, who shall entreat for him? If he sins against Yahweh, who's going to be the one who goes for him, entreats for him? Watch this. Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because Yahweh would slay them. So in order, they were supposed to be doing the service, the temple service, but they weren't doing that. It was all about them, what they could get. And I mean, you're going very far to put it in the face of God that you would commit such acts at the entrance to the temple. And they were trading. Basically, they were trading. They didn't have what they needed, money-wise, monetary-wise, to take care of the temple, whatever it was that they needed to do. So in order for them to get what they needed, they'd have to sleep with these two guys, the women. Wow. It's pretty bad. Well, Yahweh's off, and it don't really matter. So it matters to Yahweh. Let me tell you, it matters a lot. And the child Samuel grew on. So the whole story, what is Samuel doing? He's growing. He's growing. He's getting stronger. He got more respect for Yahweh. At first, he didn't know Yahweh much, right? Samuel, you calling me? Eli, you calling me? I wasn't me. Go back. Samuel. Come back. Eli, you calling me? No, it ain't me calling you. You see, he didn't even know yet. But what's happening to him now? And the child Samuel grew on. and was in favor both with Yahweh and also with men. Notice that. That's favor right there. Now, who else grew on and had that same quote said about him? Yeshua, right? Says he grew in favor with God and men. Isn't that something? So we have this picture here. He grew in favor. Why? He had respect for the Father. He had respect for Yahweh. Very important. And there came a man of Elohim unto Eli and said to him, thus said Yahweh, did I plainly appear into the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Now the prophet shows up. Man of God comes and speaks to Eli, who's in charge. And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear the ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offering made by fire of the children of Israel? How many of you know God is asking these questions? Because he wants to know, did you forget? Now, Eli was a descendant from Aaron. And this is what he's referring to. From Egypt, who was the priest? Aaron. Aaron's going to be. So it's going to be from Aaron's sons and so forth. Now here we have this whole scene unfolding. Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me. Notice that. Now listen, can we honor something above him? Listen, if we're not careful, we'll let a lot of stuff in our life be above Yahweh. And one thing he doesn't like is that he doesn't like that stuff. Remember, you remember in Job, when he talked about Job's friends? He says, I'll hear Job, but I won't hear them. Because they, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zohar. How many remember reading that? You know what he said? They have not spoken right about me. For they have not spoken right about me. Is this not similar? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice, at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me. Notice that. To make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. They weren't satisfied with taking the fish flesh hook and getting what was theirs. They wanted to take it all. They got greedy. That could speak for why Eli was overweight. They could. He wasn't doing the work that he was supposed to do. He was just eating all the free food. And he got to him. He was still old. He was an old man. But he was heavy. And he paid the price for it. He lost his balance. After he heard, fell over backwards and broke his neck. So there's a price to pay. So notice this next one here. Wherefore Yahweh Elohim of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now Yahweh saith. How many see that? I said, Yahweh's the Spirit, I said that you're going to walk indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, how many know that Yahweh will change things that he had initially stated to make sure that it doesn't interfere with his perfect plan that he'd already set in motion? But now, notice this. But now, Yahweh says, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And that's something. Verse 31, behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm. If the prophet's up prophesying and he tells you you're going to get the arm cut off, my boy, you sink in your seat a little bit. Huh? In the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. Wow, this is some terrible things they're hearing. 32. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, and all the wealth which Elohim shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine house, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And he's talking about being young. Now, Eli was older, but his boys never got to reach that age. He's speaking, this word is being given to Eli, because he's in charge. You love your sons more than me. They're going to die young in the flower. Flower means they still producing children. That's what that means. Did we not read that Phinehas' wife was with what? Child, 9 months. But in the flower. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. Now this is before the event. Notice I read the event, then I backed up. I'm in the second chapter. He told Eli, both of them going to die in one day. You already know this. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. I wonder who he has in mind. Anybody want to guess? Who he's got in mind? Who? No. Who he's got in mind? He said, I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. Samuel. Okay, they want a king. I'm going to give them a king. Anoint Saul. How long are you going to mourn for Saul, Sam? You see, and I have rejected him. Fill your horn with oil, because remember the promise. He shall walk before mine anointing forever. Jesse, you have any more sons? Because none of these count. Yeah, I got one, David. He's in the field. You go get him. And when he came, they witnessed. What did Samuel do? Walk before mine anointed forever. And he anointed him. That was the house forever. Of that throne, there'll be no end. That's where Yeshua HaMashiach, from the root of Jesse, from the stem of Jesse, the root of David, there'll come one. Isn't that amazing? It's an amazing story. Because we got all this corruption, and then all of a sudden he changes it, and everything has the favor of God upon it. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's office that I may eat a piece of bread. You don't think? Man, let me tell you something. You got to give God his glory. You got to give him his glory. You got to praise him, because if he... How many know he has high expectations of us? High expectations. So give him his glory. So you can be in an office. You can be in very much a part of the church, but not performing in that, which you should do. And then God will use somebody else. So we see this happening. And it's a terrible thing. Terrible. In this experience, there is a lesson for the footstep followers of Jesus during this gospel age, that we must hold fast to the ordinances, instructions that the Lord has given us. We think of instructions given to us by the Apostle Paul. Let's look at them. So we have some instructions too. How many know they had instructions? And they were told, this is what you got to do. They didn't follow those instructions. So what did he do? They were gone. So at the hand of their enemy, they were destroyed, when it should have been Yahweh delivering them, miraculously delivering them from their enemies. Yahweh coming through for them. We've seen it many times, the whole time. He was with them. But in this case, they went out in the name of Yahweh and they lost because the glory had departed from Israel. There was no, the glory was gone. So remember, you can have a gift. You can even have a talent. You can be talented. And they were gifted and talented people. They were from a good lineage, from Aaron's lineage. They were gifted and talented. But when the glory departs, you can only go so far with your gift and your talent when it comes to the kingdom work. And eventually you're going to be found out, right? So let's look at what Paul said. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 through 6. We then, as workers together with him, what are we? Workers together with him. Beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of Elohim in vain. How many believe we should honor him? We don't want to receive the grace in vain, do we? Do you know what? It was grace being bestowed upon them. They didn't have to work for anything. They didn't have to keep the animals. They didn't have to clean the animals. They didn't have to cook the animals. Somebody was doing that. What did they do? They walked by with their flesh hook, got what they wanted. Well, that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. It wasn't enough that Yahweh provided for them. It wasn't enough that Yahweh was depending on them to speak the truth. Don't live with people. Because if you're doing something, and you're doing it because you got the position, and then people see it that you're doing it, then it's okay for them to do it. Because you got the position. That's why Yahweh said, why you keep doing this to the people? You're teaching them to live wrong. You're teaching them not to have no respect for me. And I would hope and pray that everybody here at this church realizes that I'm preaching with everything that's in me. We got to give God the glory. We got to respect him. We got to honor him. We got to praise him. Let it be a privilege and an honor that we can come and give him thanks. We are blessed to be able to be called Christians. Blessed to be able to know the name of Yahweh and give him glory and honor. Blessed. That's why he says, I beseech you also that you receive not the grace of Elohim in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In a day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Given no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Right? Well, they weren't doing that. Phineas and Hop, they weren't performing this, and so there was a price to pay. But I can see in the world today that this happens all the time. I mean, there was a time that, you know, I would watch certain things on TV. I like to watch preachers preach and different teachers teach and singers sing. And now I can't put it on. Can't put it on because I'm like, wow, how in the world this is right? The message you're sending is completely wrong. You can't send that kind of message. And you know, maybe people who's been in church for a long time, they're processing this and they're okay. But the person who's not been, they're saying, hey, I love this Christianity stuff. We can do whatever we want. And so people live that way. My question is, well, who's going to pay a consequence for that? Who's going to give account for that? Who's going to give account for how people look at God? What they think about God? I'll tell you what, that's a dangerous thing. Look at verse 4. He says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of Elohim, in much patience. That's a good one to start with. Much patience. I pray that all the time. Said, Lord, give me patience. I don't want to be somebody who just gets so mad and not even hear the whole conversation. That is absolute crazy to be that way. The Lord began to show me some things. Even this week and last week, I was challenged in this. Really challenged. And I was like, wow, I see what you're saying, Lord. You got to be careful. You never know when this phone call is going to happen. You never know when you're going to be called up to show much patience. That's why you got to practice this on a daily basis. And I tell you what, so we have to be careful. Amen? So he says, in much patience, in afflictions. Now, I don't know how afflictions, you know, some people have some afflictions going on. I've been blessed to not have a lot of afflictions. I've had some afflictions, but not a lot of afflictions. But I know people who's in affliction. We prayed with somebody, and that came to, let me tell you, I wanted to feel it this past week. And I knew, I felt it in my spirit, my heart, I could feel the heaviness. People go through so much afflictions. Man, you go, wow, this is amazing. And here we are, you know, we might have some bumps here and there, but when he's talking about afflictions, we have a lot to be glorifying God about. You meet somebody who's in a lot of affliction, and it's just the enemy. The enemy don't care. He don't care. And some of you know about afflictions. You've been through some afflictions, and you know people who's in afflictions. You go visit the hospitals. Folks are in affliction. They've been afflicted. It's terrible. One's in the hospital, the day out, the next one's in it, and it's an affliction that comes over families. We ought to be praying. We ought to be praying and saying, God, help people come out of these afflictions with every chance you get. People going through some stuff. But how many know God is bigger than the affliction? So he's telling us, even if you have to go through affliction, hold on. In necessities, hold on. In distresses, hold on. Right? In stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in watching, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge. So he's telling us about all this stuff in afflictions, in necessities. How many say in much patience, in afflictions, necessities, distress, in stripes, in prison, in tumults, in labor, in watching, in fastings. Then he says, by. How many like that shift? That's an incredible shift. By pureness. By knowledge. By long-suffering. By kindness. Ready for this? By the Holy Spirit. By love unfeigned. We get a hold of that. No matter what you're going through, you're going to be okay. So don't let anything put you in a position where somehow God is not all that he says he is. Because that's where things change. The moment you feel like God is not all that he says he is, you're going to have some difficult times. You'll wind up like Phineas and Hophni. You'll wind up, and I see it all the time. How many's ever knew somebody? This is participation. Okay? How many's ever knew somebody that one time in their life you saw them and they were what you would consider to be a person who was really on fire for God? Let me see your hand. And why aren't they now? I can tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because when it says in patience, in afflictions start coming. And necessities and distress and stripes and imprisonment and tumult and labor and watching and fastings. Because fastings is, you know, it's a sacrifice. And you feel it. And he's using that to let us know that, man, you're under a lot of pressure. And let me tell you what happens. Instead of saying, well, at that moment, you cry out to God. And you tell him, so you're still bigger. You're bigger than all of this stuff. You're amazing. And let me tell you, there ain't nobody who can say it like Paul can say it, because he's been through all this stuff. He's been through it. He said, I've been through some stuff. He was at death's door many times. Many times. You know, when you get out of prison, then they put you on a boat, and the boat wrecks, and you like to drown. You get to shore, and you reach in the wood, and a snake bites you. I'm kind of thinking, hey, something ain't right here. Because it ain't stopping. This week's been one of them weeks. It's not stopping. What do you do? By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned, you put your head down and you give God all the glory He deserves. God, I may not be able to lift it high, but the one thing is sure, you still God. You ain't never changed and you won't change. You still love me. And right now, I may not be feeling that love. I feel like I'm under attack. I feel like I'm being assaulted. I feel like I'm being forgotten. I know this one thing. You promised me you would be there, and I thank you for it. I may not feel it, but I know you're true to your word. Love, let me tell you something about that. There's something about it, because when you come out, you're going to come out with glory. You're going to come out with victory. It's going to be amazing. And that's what you have to understand. Let me tell you something. Jesus, Yeshua, was tempted in all points. He went through it. He went through it. Let me tell you, there were some sad, sad days in his life. There were some hurtful days in his life. Hurtful. I'm talking about guys who hung out with him every day. Every day for over 3 years, they hung out with him. And when he was standing side by side, not far from them, just at a distance, and they talked to his friends, talking about Yeshua's friends, and they say, "You know him?" And they say, "I don't know him." Let me tell you, that's a tough day. And you standing there saying, "You don't know me?" Who grabbed you when your butt was about to sink and drown? When you got out, you was going down, who grabbed you? Who's the one told you when you worked all night you couldn't figure it out for yourself? I said, put the net on the other side, and you filled the net up until it broke and was sinking the boat. Who did that? And you don't know me? You mean you don't know me? That's a tough day. That's a real tough day. And so you might be facing stuff, things going on. But there's no, to me, I read this, there's zero excuse for us to ever take away from who the Most High God is. I heard people tell me, "Well, God ain't doing nothing for me." Wow. Really? You getting in that spot with Phineas and Hophni, right there. You had it there wide open. And you can tell, listen, let's tell whoever you think's going there. I know some folks that you know good and well, they're going there now. That's a dangerous spot to go in. So every time you get a chance, just tell them, don't go down that path. You go down that path, that's a tough, tough road right there. And let me tell you, what did God say? He said, "Well, listen, I promised this house would have it forever. But now I've changed my mind." You never want to hear those words. "I'm going to give this priesthood to another. And he'll walk before mine anointed forever." Wow. You know who that was? That little boy, Samuel, who grew to know Yahweh. He didn't get him all at once. He didn't even know when his voice spoke. The boy after that, when the word of the Lord would come to him, he come to Saul. He said, "Saul, what is this you've done? You have stepped out of your spot, and you dare to come into this spot? You have no idea what you just did. You seek the advice of a witch, and you try to stand where I stand in the presence of Yahweh amongst his anointed? That's a terrible thing." And what did God do? He said, "I reject him. He would no longer be king." And by his own sword, he lay dead in the battlefield. I'm just telling you this because we're talking about God's glory and how much respect we should give God. Nobody should get into serving God if they're not serious. Because you can't come before him and do the motions. I know people who shouted, who got the, what they call the Holy Ghost come on them. I mean, it hit them and they were in it. And then to go out and do the stuff contrary to Scripture? Really? That's a bad spot to be in. Terrible, terrible, terrible. All you can do is tell people. I'm giving you this information so you tell them, you see them. Say, I'm going to just tell you something. Don't you know you're walking in dangerous territory? Oh, there you go, judging me. We can call it what you want. Let me just run it by you. You can take it however you want. I'm telling you because I love you and I care about you. If I would judge you, I wouldn't speak to you ever again. It's not judging. I'm reaching out to you. And I'm telling you the truth. There you go. That's a good line. You tell them. But I care about you. But you are dangerously stepping on territory that you can be rejected from God. Wow. Psalm 69, verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Yahweh, in an acceptable time, O Elohim, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Wow. When you see these things, in the last verse, Isaiah 49, verse 8, thus said Yahweh, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. In a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth and to cause the inheritance and to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. That's what a promise that is. And so I just want to tell you that we are in a spot today where we get the opportunity to give God glory, give him praise, give him honor. He deserves that honor. So let me just explain to you the danger in us and what happens a lot of times. Some people, I would say this, and I don't know what other word to use, but they got, you ever heard, made this statement, they got nerve. Right? And so you're using that it's not a positive nerve, right? Right? It's not positive. But I want you to think about it. Some people do have the nerve to just walk away. And that's one way to see it. You've seen it, I've seen it. Some people don't. They don't have the nerve to. But they still disconnect themselves. And so you see that happen. So some will just go, some will stay, but disconnect. The results are the same. It's not different. It's the same. In fact, one could be worse than the other because it has some underlying cover of giving hope to maybe a friend or a family member or somebody that they've been in church with for a long time, that they're really serious when in fact they're not. So I want to tell you, don't be that. Be serious with God. Speak right about him. Make sure that you do what God wants you to do. This is important times. And don't be ashamed when you're given the opportunity to speak up and share the word of God with people and encourage them. Encourage them and say, listen, I want you to understand these things. They're important. They're valuable. So let's give God the glory he deserves.